remains as the U.S.-Israel genocide in Gaza continues. For the 166th day, the death toll of Gazans exceeds 31,900, mostly women and children. The Israeli occupation army admits its failure to intercept a missile fired from Yemen and the hits the vicinity of the southern port of Eilat. And Iran's leader congratulates the nation on the Persian New Year, naming it as surge in production through people's participation. Hello and welcome, everybody. Israel keeps dropping bombs and firing artillery shells on Gaza, further indicating the regime's specific goal to commit genocide in the besieged territory. Here's a video showing critically injured Palestinians at a hospital following fresh airstrikes on the Nusayrat camp in central Gaza. There are new airstrikes on the Buraij refugee camp also in central Gaza. Over 36 Palestinians have lost their lives in the latest Israeli bombardment of the two camps. The Israeli military also once again opened fire at Gazan aid seekers, killing at least 30 of them. It took place when the regime forces targeted a gathering of popular committees formed to secure the transfer of aid from the Kuwait roundabout to Gaza City. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza since October the 7th has topped 31,900. Over 74,000 have also been injured. Moti Abu Musaber, correspondent in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala, updated us on the latest Israeli massacres in the besieged strip.
And let's begin from the central area of Gaza Strip, where as the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre over the last night against the Palestinian civilians, particularly in Nusayrat refugee camp. At least 27 Palestinian civilians, mostly women and children, were massacred after the Israeli warplanes destroyed their residential building in the center of Nusayrat refugee camp. It is another appalling massacre. At the same time, the Israeli occupation forces also renewed their airstrikes against Al Buraij refugee camp. At least 7 Palestinian civilians were massacred as well over that attack. Continuous Israeli airstrikes are still hitting the central area of Gaza Strip. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery also maintained its strikes and shelling against the residential areas in the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city. When it comes to Gaza City, the current situation is catastrophic at all levels. As you have mentioned, the Israeli occupation forces committed an alarming massacre against the popular committees, which were formed by the members of the big families and tribes in Gaza City in order to facilitate and safeguard the delivery of the humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza Strip. The Israeli warplanes mercilessly attacked them, claiming the lives of at least 30 Palestinian civilians in that attack. In the meantime, the brutal Israeli aggression is still continuous against the Ashifa Square. The Israeli tanks are still firing their shells against the residential buildings, while the Israeli airstrikes are still continued relentlessly against those areas. More Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed over the last night, while the Israeli tanks also maintained their gunfire towards the Palestinian residential areas.
The Hamas political bureau chief says Israel is sabotaging ceasefire talks following the deadly raid on Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, which killed dozens of Palestinians. Ismail Haniyeh says the attack proves Israel's intent to obstruct medical efforts to save Palestinian lives. He said Israel also seeks to sow chaos and perpetuate violence against Palestinians by targeting police officers and government officials in Gaza. Haniyeh, however, stressed that Israel will fail to achieve its criminal plans. He vowed that during ceasefire talks, Hamas would remain committed to the rights of the Palestinian people. Negotiations for a Gaza ceasefire are underway in Doha, with Qatari mediators saying a counterproposal could soon be presented to Hamas. Israel has laid a siege to Al-Shifa Hospital for 3 days now, abducting scores of Palestinians. The Israeli military has confirmed that a missile fired from Yemen hit the vicinity of Eilat port in the occupied Palestinian territories.
The missile forces also launched a number of winged missiles at Israeli targets in the Omar Rashash area in southern occupied Palestine.
Yahya Sarayi, the spokesman for Yemen's armed forces, said in a statement that a cruise missile was launched early on Tuesday from the country's territorial waters in the Red Sea toward the occupied territories. The regime's Iron Dome and aerial missile defense system failed to intercept the missile. There's still no report of casualties or damage as the military claims the missile fell in an unpopulated area. Eilat Port has already been struggling financially amid Yemen's operations against Israeli or Israeli-bound ships in the Red Sea. The Yemeni armed forces have pledged that they would keep targeting those vessels unless the regime stops its bloodshed of Palestinians and ends its siege on Gaza. And the Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has conducted fresh attacks against Israeli positions in solidarity with Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. In its latest operation, the resistance group attacked Israel's Ben Gurion airport with drones. This is the second strike by the Iraqi resistance on this airport in less than 2 weeks. The group said the attack is part of the second phase of operations in support of the Palestinians in Gaza and in response to the Israeli massacres against innocent civilians. In recent months, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq has carried out a series of attacks against Israel's positions in the occupied territories and elsewhere. It has also attacked the U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. And the Canadian government has decided to stop exporting weapons to Israel following a motion that was ratified by the House of Commons. The foreign minister announced that Ottawa will no longer allow weapon exports to Israel. That came after lawmakers endorsed a wide-ranging package that also called for a halt to weapons shipments to Tel Aviv. Melanie Joly emphasized that although the parliamentary measure is non-binding, the Canadian government has heeded the call to stop arming Israel. The move has angered the Israeli regime. Foreign Minister Israel Katz denounced the Canadian decision, claiming that, quote, history will judge. Canada's House of Commons approved a halt in weapons sales to Israel on Monday following a heated debate.
The European Union states that Netanyahu is using deliberate starvation of children in Gaza as a weapon of war. Human rights groups have spoken out against targeting of journalists, civilians, hospitals, aid workers. And the UN has called out for Canada for complicity in this because we provide the military weapons to Israel. Last night, Parliament called for an end to military aid to Netanyahu's government. And yet numerous military supply deals are still in the works. So will the minister respect Parliament and tell us whether or not deals like the guns from Colt and Kitchener and armed vehicles from Rochelle and Brampton will be sent to Israel, yes or no?
Canada had previously paused issuing military export permits to Israel amid the public outcry, but said it was still assessing applications on a case-by-case basis. But the issue remained at the heart of controversy as lawmakers and rights activists were demanding a complete ban on weapons to Israel. A Canadian pro-Palestine advocacy group has called the parliamentary motion a small step forward for ending the country's complicity in Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Canada has witnessed several mass anti-Israel rallies with demonstrators calling on the government to stop supporting the Tel Aviv regime. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has congratulated the Iranian nation on the Persian New Year. In a televised address to the nation, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei named The New Year as surge in production through people's participation. Elaborating on this year's slogan, Ayatollah Khamenei said the growth in production will solve many of Iran's economic problems, including inflation and unemployment. That's why the leader added the issue of domestic production has been highlighted in New Year's slogans over the past years. Ayatollah Khamenei reviewed the previous Iranian calendar. As well, the leader said the country saw an outstanding improvement in the scientific and technological domain over the past 12 months. He also pointed to some key events that Iranians witnessed at home as well as those that occurred abroad. Ayatollah Khamenei said the most tragic of all those events was the one that took place in Gaza, a reference to the ongoing Israeli genocidal war on the besieged territory. Well, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi made a televised speech on the Persian New Year as well. He said his administration did not sacrifice the future of the country by focusing on minor issues. Raisi touched on the efforts his administration made to boost the country's economic and industrial growth. He wished a prosperous new year and said his government will do its best to control inflation and increase industrial production. The Iranian president also highlighted other domestic issues and pledged that his administration will complete half finished projects. He added the government will direct the available funds toward production and infrastructure. Well, Iranians are celebrating Nowruz around the country as the occasion coincides with the holy month of Ramadan. Celebrating Nowruz in Iran dates back to thousands of years ago and comes along with many customs to enter the new year with a totally fresh spirit. Families visit each other and sit around the half-seen table praying for a good year ahead. About 300 million people worldwide celebrate Nowruz with traditions and rituals that vary in each country. In 2009, the United Nations designated Nowruz as an international event at the initiative of several countries that share this event. This year, Muslims in these countries are also celebrating Ramadan, which gives a holy vibe to the New Year's celebrations.
Nowruz, the beginning of the Persian New Year, has always given energy and hope to people celebrating the event to observe Iranian traditions and enter the new year with a totally fresh spirit. The arrival of Nowruz for Iranians is tantamount to shopping spree and finishing their undone work. Millions of Iranians embrace the turn of the Persian year and celebrate the spring festival with many ceremonial customs waiting to be observed.
Well, everybody is busy shopping. It is time of Nowruz and the new year. I have bought sabze, sweets and fruits. We're waiting for the new year to arrive.
Sofre Hafsin is unique, symbolic for the Nowruz festivity and its tradition. The Hafsin spread includes seven items, all starting with the letter seen in the Persian alphabet. Iranians say there's a history behind each element, including serke, vinegar, symbolizes patience and immortality, sumac represents love and compassion, sib, apple, is a symbol of health and fertility, Senjit, silverberry, is seen as a simulator of love and affection. Sabze, sprouts, symbolizes rebirth. Seed or garlic is a symbol of protection in the face of affliction. And samanu represents affluence.
This year it's different, as it has coincided with Ramadan. So we visit our family members and parents after iftar. And yes, it is great.
Nowruz is a unique opportunity for families and relatives to get together and visit each other. That is why Nowruz is regarded as a cultural bridge which unites people. This year, as Nowruz holidays coincide with the holy month of Ramadan, family members will most likely meet up after sunset or time of iftar when those who are fasting break their fast. Nowruz has begun and the Iranians are celebrating it as an ancient festivity to mark the first day of spring and the renewal of life and nature. This year, Nowruz has a different flavor to it as the Iranians are celebrating it with the holy month of Ramadan together, making it an exception. Fatah Masumi, Tehran.
Afghan people are making preparations to ring in the solar new year. Of course, samanak, the Hafsin table, fish and dry fruits are the necessities of marking the occasion. This year, Nowruz coincides with the holy month of Ramadan, so most gatherings are likely to be held during iftar meals, when people break their fasts.
We usually begin the new year by visiting relatives and the elderly. People exchange sweets and gifts, wishing each other a happy new year. Samank is an important part of the festivity beside other sweet meals. We also visit parks and hometowns with friends to embrace the revival of nature and greet the elderly.
Nowruz also brings the spirit of renewal and optimism as the blooming season arrives. Afghans traditionally buy or plant trees and flowers to bring new life into their homes and communities. This practice serves as a symbol of hope, growth, and resilience.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the arrival of spring and the renewal of the year, we are launching a tree planting campaign. We are trying to decorate the city with adorable colors and fresh vibes. I also urge others to pay attention to environmental stewardship and a greener future.
I congratulate all on the revival of the new year. I hope the coming year brings peace and happiness to our people and will be a year filled with job opportunities and blessings.
Despite the challenges faced by Afghanistan, its people find solace, joy, and a profound meaning in their cherished traditions and culture. For them, Nowruz is more than just a festival. It's a way of life that demonstrates their heritage and resilience. On the occasion of Nowruz, Afghan people celebrate the arrival of spring and the hope for better days ahead, wishing everyone a happy and prosperous new year. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has also issued a congratulatory message on the Persian New Year, also known as Nowruz. In his message to all nations celebrating Nowruz, Guterres said, "The occasion brings together millions of people across generations and nations." He added that the annual event promotes dialogue, good neighborliness, and reconciliation. Guterres noted that Nowruz reinforces peace, human rights, and dignity, which are actually the goals and values of the United Nations. He also called for bridging divides and fostering unity. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish. Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the first day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. Stay with us for a special series on this occasion. We are going to introduce some of the customs and traditions of Iranians in various regions of the country on the period of Nowruz. Today we will speak about the traditions that are common almost everywhere in Iran. Hope you'll enjoy it. Many customs and traditions of world people have their roots in the past, and some of them have grown alongside man and his thoughts. An ancient tradition in Iran, with a past record of over 2,500 years, is the National Nowruz Feast. This feast enters Iranian houses with happiness every year with the arrival of spring, Nowruz has remained the ups and downs of history and lives with Iranians from any ethnicity and language. Whatever the history of Nowruz is, today it is an important nationwide feast, which is celebrated not only in Iran, but also in several countries which used to be part of ancient Iran. Nowruz is accompanied with many customs, as one of which is haftsin. Haftsin is the tablecloth which is spread in every Iranian house, and seven items are put on it, beginning with letter sin, S, in Farsi. It is a beautiful tablecloth which includes various things, each of which is said to symbolize a specific concept. These items include sib, apple, symbolizing paradise, sir, garlic, symbolizing health, samanu, pudding made with fresh wheat sprouts, symbolizing fertility and power, senjed, oil tree fruit, symbolizing wisdom and calculated action, serke, vinegar, symbolizing satisfaction, somak, sumac, symbolizing patience, rebirth, and sunset, and sabze, fresh sprouts of wheat or other green sprouts, symbolizing life and hope. Some believe that the seventh S is seke, coin, symbolizing wealth. There are usually other items in haftsin tablecloth, which include a fish bowl with fish inside, a copy of the Noble Quran, and a few colorful eggs. Many Iranians usually start the year with recitation of the Noble Quran, believing that it will bless their life for the coming year. But non-Muslims put their holy book in the tablecloth as a symbol of blessing. Another custom among Iranians before the arrival of Nowruz is khune tekuni, which means house cleaning. A few weeks before Nowruz, Iranians start cleaning their houses. They have carpets and curtains washed, and walls, windows, and furniture cleaned. Moreover, several weeks before the new year, municipalities in every city and town clean streets and adorn them with beautiful items. Interestingly, there is a unit in Iran's cities called Beautification Organization. This organization is in charge of decoration of streets and public furniture in every city and the peak of its activities before Nowruz. Nowruz shopping is another custom among Iranians. Iranians, based on their financial ability, buy new clothes and replace their old clothes with new ones before Nowruz. It should be reminded that while cleaning their houses, some people replace their furniture and tapestries with new ones according to their budget. Eidi is another beautiful custom which makes family members, especially children, happy. Eidi is the money given by elders to youngers upon visiting them. It is also customary to give a gift to wives by husbands. Among some ethnicities, brothers also buy gifts for sisters. Eidi is so significant for young children that once they do not receive it, they would think that their parents or grandparents have forgotten them. Furthermore, some friends exchange presents as a sign of affection and remembrance. Some people also give money to those who render a service, like trash collectors, janitors, mailmen, and various servicemen. Nowruz holidays end on the 13th of Farvardin month, called Sizde Bedar, or the Day of Nature. On this day, Iranians leave homes for parks, gardens, plains, and mountains to spend their time in nature. The food on this day is usually prepared in two ways. People either prepare it before going outdoors or take every item needed for the food and make it in nature. Ashreshte, a special kind of broth, is a very popular food on Sizde Bedar. Ashreshte is made with vegetables and legumes. Iranians also add whey and fried mint and onion to the food when serving it. Other kinds of ash are also made in Iran, which may contain meat, barley, and other items. Lettuce and vinegar mixed with honey or sugar are also eaten on Sizde Bedar. Dear listeners, as of the next episode, we will introduce Nowruz customs among different ethnicities in Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
South Korea this week hosts the third U.S. initiative of the Summit for Democracy. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken suggested America could lead the world toward democratic ideals lacking elsewhere.
Vitalizing democracy will also require us to shape a technological future that's inclusive, that's rights-respecting, directed at driving progress in people's lives. as authoritarian and repressive regimes deploy technologies to undermine democracy and human rights, we need to ensure that technology sustains and supports democratic values and norms.
Corralled away from the venue, activists were joined by a South Korean lawmaker to question Washington's and Seoul's credibility, particularly in light of U.S. support of Israel's ongoing genocide of Palestinians in Gaza.
Since Yoon Suk-yeol came into power, our democracy index has fallen by 19 points, and we're turning into a very backward country in terms of democracy. The United States, the enabler of the massacre, Israel, the perpetrator of the massacre, and South Korea are causing the endless decline of democracy.
Activists say the U.S. and South Korea have the blood of tens of thousands of innocents on their hands through the provision of weapons to Israel and failure to pressure Tel Aviv to end its genocide.
It's not the time for the South Korean government or the U.S. government, who are complicit in Israel's genocide, to discuss democracy. Instead, the Korean government should urge the U.S. and Israel to immediately stop the genocide, lift the blockade of the Gaza Strip, and end Israel's colonial military occupation of Palestine.
While a rift has appeared in U.S. support of Israel, concern is mounting that the Israeli military will increase attacks on the already besieged Rafah, where Palestinians await humanitarian aid amid reports of starvation. Like here, around the world can be found supporters of a free Palestine protesting against Israel's genocide in Gaza week after week. And here at this summit titled Democracy for Future Generations, a glaring question clouds proceedings. What will happen to the next generation of Palestinians? Frank Smith, Seoul.
The people of Afghanistan are facing immense hardship and sorrow, with the country finding itself at the bottom of the World Happiness Report rankings. The report, which evaluates nations based on various factors such as freedom, health, and income, has named Afghanistan as the unhappiest, where almost everyone is very unhappy.
Everyone here agrees with the result of the World Happiness Survey. We are unhappiest, and that is because of the ongoing poverty, unemployment, and lack of freedom and opportunities. Furthermore, girls cannot receive education, which further adds to the misery of Afghan families. When women are despaired, families feel unhappy.
I have been unemployed for almost 3 years. Since then, I have not had any income. My young daughters are missing their school, and this situation is so tough. How can we be happy? The Afghan people have suffered decades of intervention and war, and they have not been happy. But experts say, under the rule of the Taliban, their circumstances have worsened.
The Afghan people have suffered decades of intervention and war, and they have not been happy. But experts say, under the rule of the Taliban, their circumstances have worsened.
As we speak, mental clinics across Kabul are receiving more patients than ever. As a psychologist, I witnessed the rise of mental health problems such as anxiety, stress, and depression. They have even led to suicide. If you take hope away from people, it will result in a depressed and dead nation. Hope is everything for human beings. If it is eroded, all progress will be lost.
The Afghan people are resilient, but the absence of basic human necessities and rights can crush even the strongest will. The international community and the ruling Taliban share a responsibility to bring some hope and light to the life of the crisis-stricken nation. Decades of foreign interventions and war have made Afghans the poorest and the saddest people on the planet. This nation has long yearned for peace and happiness, but it remains to be seen when or whether they find their lost dream. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
The appointment of a new Palestinian prime minister at the current circumstances can deepen divisions as the Israeli war on Gaza rages. This is what some Palestinian factions revealed after President Mahmoud Abbas appointed Mohammed Mustafa, a long-trusted advisor on economic affairs, as prime minister and tasked him with forming a new government. Both Hamas and resistance movements, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine and the Palestinian National Initiative, said that without national consensus, it's a reinforcement of a policy of exclusion and the deepening of division. We met Dr. Mustafa Al-Barghouti, Secretary General of the National Initiative. He told us that the most important thing is now a unified leadership.
We're not against the new government. We're against the way the government is being formed. We want a national consensus government, a government which is acceptable and accepted by all Palestinian political groups through a national dialogue between the different groups. And that is natural because, and for us, the main goal first before forming a government is how we structure a unified Palestinian national leadership.
Mohammed Mustafa replaces Mohammed Shtayyi, who resigned less than 3 weeks ago, citing the need for real change. Experts, however, say there had been mounting pressure on Abbas to reform the Palestinian Authority and initiate the establishment of a political framework capable of governing a future Palestinian state to take charge of all Palestinian territories after the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza ends.
First of all, that there was a pressure on the Palestinian Authority to make some changes, and that's why they complied immediately and appointing Mohammed Mustafa as the new prime minister. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, which is most importantly as well, what the Palestinians wanted. The Palestinians don't want another government to be the same. The problem here is with Israel. Are they, and the international community, are they able to really make the change and let this government to work or not?
The new prime minister now would work to form a technocratic government of experts. Abbas has also asked Mustafa to create plans to reunite the administration of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, reform the government, and address internal corruption. A real political change, not a change in words only, is what the people here desire. Moreover, the upcoming government faces numerous challenges, namely rebuilding the Gaza Strip, torpedoing Israeli plans to control the coastal enclave, and managing Palestinians' lives. Mona Kandil, Occupy Ramallah.
On Saturday, thousands of people joined a new rally in the Italian capital, organized, among the others, by the movement of the Palestinian students and the Association of the Palestinians in Italy. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide, also saw the participation of high school students and families. People at the rally strongly condemned Italy's unwavering support to the Israeli regime.
Italy, that claims to be a democratic nation, is a country where the government goes against the people's will. Profits always come first, even when a genocide is taking place. I'm teaching my kids to never give up the fight and to never accept being submitted.
The Italian Defense Minister Guido Crosetto has recently said that Rome has continued to export arms to Israel despite assurances last year that the government was blocking such sales following Tel Aviv's invasion of the Gaza Strip. Some Italian media reports recently revealed that despite the Italian government's denials, the value of arms sales to Israel more than tripled in December 2023 compared with the same month in 2022. And December last year was the peak of Israeli bombardments on the Gaza Strip.
Western governments have been systematically supporting Zionism and Israel's criminal regime, notwithstanding the protest against Israel's crimes that have been taking place across the globe. Italy's support to Tel Aviv must stop once and for all.
La soluzione sarebbe...
A solution to the onslaught in Gaza could be found if the international community stopped militarily supporting Israel. Italy, on its side, has been actively arming Israel through companies such as Leonardo and others. If we don't make sure that the Palestinians' right to self-determination is protected, and nothing will ever change.
Earlier this week, more protests and initiatives in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians were held in several Italian cities, including Milan and Naples. Max Civili, Rome.
A growing strategic partnership between Azerbaijan and Iran in the energy sector on full display. A collaboration that promises to bolster economic development and energy security beyond the borders of the two countries and in the region, as described by the Iranian Minister of Energy and his visiting Azerbaijani counterpart. A highlight of this cooperation is the near completion of hydroelectric power plants on the Aras River, a vital waterway on the Iran-Azerbaijan border, with construction progress reported at 96%. The strategic importance of these hydroelectric projects extends beyond national benefits, signaling a move towards greater energy independence and regional cooperation, including the creation of an energy bridge linking Azerbaijan, Iran, and Russia by connecting Iran and Russia's power grids through the Republic of Azerbaijan. This follows decisions made 2 weeks ago during the 17th Iran-Russia Joint Economic Commission in Tehran to boost economic relations in different fields. Managing shared water resources for energy production lays the groundwork for more mutually beneficial cooperation, which is why the presidents of both countries will be attending the inaugural ceremony.
The projects are in the final stages, promising a significant boost in Iran-Azerbaijan bilateral relations, all in line with President Ebrahim Raisi's policy to expand relations with neighboring countries. Gizum Shahmadi, Tehran.
The top annual analysis of global arms sales found that France has risen to the number two weapons exporter in the world. The gains have often been made thanks to debt from Ukraine, which has become Europe's largest arms importer. French arms sales have soared 50% in recent years and now comprise 11% of the global market. The world's leading arms dealer is still the United States, which controls a record 42% of the global weapons trade. Arms sales to Ukraine has proven to be big business, and it may explain President Emmanuel Macron's about-face on the conflict. 2 years ago, Macron warned that Russia must not be humiliated, but he's recently become one of Europe's leading anti-Russia war hawks. France's top three arms clients are India, which is the world's largest arms importer, followed by Saudi Arabia and tiny but rich Qatar. Africa is still reeling from 40 tons of illegal free arms drops France made in 2011 to support anti-Gaddafi rebels in Libya. As predicted, the weapons soon found their way to Syria, the Central African Republic, Ukraine, and elsewhere. This week, French Parliament approved a 10-year military pact with Kiev, which guarantees billions in more weapons deliveries. Russia continues to gain ground against NATO-backed Ukraine, which is an important reminder that some weapons are made to work under actual wartime conditions, and some are made mainly for sales and profit. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
An unprecedented global movement gaining momentum. Initiated by veteran French lawyer and academic Gilles De Verre, the Army of Lawyers for Palestine now has over 200,000 lawyers of different nationalities on board and still counting, as he travels from country to country to promote his grassroots campaign.
We are witnessing a new movement in the world. The atrocities committed in Gaza are no longer only a matter that concerns Muslim countries. Far from it. Here we have a French lawyer that has started an initiative that brought together 300 lawyers from across the world in less than 10 days, and that number grew rapidly to 100,000. And now with the MOU that we have signed at the Iran Judiciary Bar, that number will be rising to 50,000 lawyers. With Iran on board, you can also expect lawyers from Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to join in as well.
And an optimistic Gilles de Verre, who has already filed a complaint of genocide against Israel with the International Criminal Court, demanding an arrest warrant for top Israeli politicians, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
This is going to be a tough battle, without a doubt. But in just a few months, all these lawyers have joined us. This kind of solidarity is unprecedented. We have never seen so many lawyers join hands for one purpose in history. So this is a great sign, because it won't be enough to tell a judge, look, there's no many of us. Instead, we have to be able to defend Palestine with strong legal arguments. And by the looks of things, we have a solid base for that.
His South African fellow companion shedding light on the legal aspects of the matter while explaining how the case brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa is also paving the way.
The ICJ order specifically spoke about creating a humanitarian corridor and a humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. The United States and Israel were saying that the word ceasefire did not exist in the ICJ order. But this is not true, because the humanitarian aid on the ground at scale cannot be delivered without an effective and immediate ceasefire.
It is very clear that we are witnessing a birth of new age. A new movement of justice-seeking people from all over the world is emerging, and that is why, while the South African government files a complaint, we see a grassroots movement also taking shape. A very unique one that has brought together lawyers who are seeking justice in the battle between good and evil.
And in the words of these legal experts, this goal is not far from reach. Lawyers believe that we live in a new era in which this new global initiative will eventually lead to justice for Palestinians. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
An annual meeting of Quran reciters and memorizers with the leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Every year on the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, leader of the Islamic Revolution receives top reciters of the Holy Quran to stress the importance of this very holy book in the lives of Muslims.
In the meeting, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei described the recitation of the Quran as a sacred art, while underlining that the primary objective of this very valuable skill should be to convey the meaning and message of the Quran to the public and society and create the ground for contemplation of the Holy Scripture. Elsewhere in his speech, Ayatollah Khamenei expressed his satisfaction with the abundant number of young Quran reciters in the country, viewing their increase as a blessing of the Islamic Revolution. Meanwhile, referring to the crimes committed by the Zionist regime in Gaza, the leader pointed out that the peak of resilience that is being witnessed in Gaza presently stems from a profound familiarity with and adherence to the teachings of the Quran. Before the meeting, young and experienced reciters and memorizers were very much excited to listen and take a glimpse of the leader.
I am very much excited to recite some verses of the Holy Quran in the presence of the leader. But this is a great opportunity for me to see the leader.
This is the third time I have the honor of attending such a great event. Today I am going to have supplications to recite about the holy month of Ramadan.
Other reciters were worried about the people of Gaza, who are observing the holy month of Ramadan amid the Israeli bombing and shelling campaign.
The month of Ramadan is the month of mercy and blessing. I do believe that during this month, the Zionist regime will face a big defeat.
At the end of the ceremony, the Quran reciters and memorizers held congregational prayers led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution and broke their fast together. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
March 20, 1951, members of the Iranian parliament passed a bill introduced by the country's democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, to nationalize Iran's oil industry. The groundbreaking initiative put an end to Britain's four-decade dominion over Iran's oil industry. the Britain-owned Anglo-Iranian Oil Company enjoyed a monopolistic control over the industry and paid only a meager portion of the revenues to the Iranian government.
Nationalization was a call for independence. If you go back then, the Iranians, the entire public, realized that this move was not about economy. It was about independence. And ergo, the Mossadegh movement was very popular within. And the entire world realized that it was about gaining independence from a colonial power that controlled the economy and based on the economy, controlled the political spectrum within Iran.
When the then government of Mossadegh put the nationalizing of Iran's oil on its agenda in April 1951, acts of sabotage and conspiracy against the country were enhanced. The American-British coup in August 1953 against Mossadegh's government was part of the plot.
Basically, the British were plundering Iranian natural resources, and oil was at the top of the list. Iranians began to protest, and there was a growing social movement in the country to nationalize Iranian oil. When that ultimately happened, the British imposed sanctions on the country, similar to what happened after the revolution in Iran.
After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iran achieved significant milestones in the petroleum industry. These include the discovery of numerous oil and gas fields, an expansion in extractable oil and condensate reserves, a rise in oil production and extractable gas, and the discovery of new oil and gas fields. Iran was the first country in the West Asia to reclaim its oil industry. The Iranian nation's move proved to be of great importance in giving rise to the anti-colonialist tendencies all over the region and set a trend for other countries. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all over the world. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. May Allah Almighty inshallah bless us in this holy month, and may you inshallah include us in your du'as as well. Welcome to IRB English Radio. Let's recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, and I'm glad to let you know that we have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider with us today in this session. Everyone, salam alaikum. Hussein, salam, how are you?
Alaikum salam, sir.
Are you good? Alhamdulillah. How are you doing with Ramadan?
That's good, sir.
Good? Alhamdulillah. Good. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Great.
Good. Good. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. And Fawad? Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 54, Surah
Al-A'raf.
Al-A'raf on page
157,
top of the page, right?
Yes.
Middle
of the page?
Yes.
All right. So, brothers and sisters, look at your Quran if you have it with you. If you don't have, go get your Quran. Turn to page 157, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 54. And first and foremost, we will listen to a recitation from this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين.
That's nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. So our brother Ali Nasir will recite this ayah, but before he recites, let me read it once and let's introduce this ayah, what it talks about. All right, this ayah talks about an introduction to Allah Almighty, like we say, knowing about God. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن ربكم الله. Indeed, your Lord is
God.
Allah.
Allah.
Inna rabbakum Allah. So, now Allah explains. So, who is Allah? Allah Himself explains who is Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Who Allah is. الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is who? The one who created the heavens and the earth. في ستة أيام. So الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. So Allah Almighty has created the heavens and the earth in six steps. Some of the scholars say, okay, six steps. So the explanation is difficult to mention, like in 1 minute, 2 minutes, it needs explanation. How? Yeah, you need to refer to the Tafasir books for this. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ.